The two runners shot by Mildred were still alive. The man with the thigh wound was dragging himself toward the dog leg, while the man hit in the spine was on the concrete floor, trying to pull himself forward. It would almost have been kinder to kill him with a second shot, but Mildred and Christy were occupied by another problem. Now that all the companions were out in the corridor, there was little cover for them. A few tunnel buttresses to cover behind, but that was all, and they were open to attack. Around the bend of the corridor, enemy shooters were beginning to fire. Any thoughts they may have had about trying to take the companions alive were now dismissed as they saw their compatriots cut down. And they had more than ancient rifles with which to fight. The snipers had been sent in purely to contain. These fighters had no such constraints. There was more than one, perhaps as many as half a dozen. It was impossible to tell. The enemy was firing blind, but with that volume of fire, there was still a strong chance that they would score some decisive hits.
Get to cover! And don't return fire unless you got a good sight!
Ignoring his wounds, Ryan dove for the scant cover of the tunnel buttress. He wiped the blood from his palm, slicking it down the leg of his pants. He unslung the Steyr from his good shoulder. He sighted on the bend, hoping to get a good look at the enemy. If they were anything like the ones they had already killed, the enemy were an inbred-looking bunch, ugly bastards with an attitude to match, but not too quick on the uptake. Two enemy gunners stepped out of cover, keeping low and firing indiscriminately. All five of the companions were sheltering behind buttresses. Ryan was the farthest up, while on the other side, Mildred and Christy shared shelter. Jack was on the right of the tunnel, like Ryan, while Doc was one buttress removed from Mildred and Christy. This left Ryan and Jack in better cover, but with a worse angle of fire. Suddenly, the gunfire died away. For the companions, there was nothing for them to target. The enemy forces were concealed around the end of the dogleg bend. But the enemy didn't appear to be too keen on firing at the companions either. Ryan looked across to Jack. Jack gave a brief nod. And then, as Ryan kept him covered, he dropped to the ground and quickly slithered across the floor to come up again next to his leader.
What'd you think?
It's too damn quiet for my liking. What the fuck are they doing around there? No sign of an attack. For all we know, they could have pulled back.
Would have heard them. They're just sitting and waiting.
Yeah, but for what? And if we stay here, they can just sit us out like before. But without any grins to hit the bend, we're risking running into a hail of fire.
We could open the sec, though.
Jack looked back over his shoulder to the closed door that provided them with a dead end.
They could have men waiting for us on the other side. We'd be exposed.
But why did they not use it to hit us now?
Ryan considered it. If the enemy had men stationed behind the sec door, then the right time to hit them would have been while they were being assaulted from the front. Doc drifted out from cover, moving quickly from buttress to buttress, until he was opposite Ryan and Jack.
A simple word, my dear Ryan. It occurs to me that our enemy has a great knowledge of the redoubt, perhaps one handed down for many years. If these people have had what they consider unique access to the redoubt, then they would not have countenanced the notion that someone else may also have such knowledge. To wit, they may not consider that anyone else may have a knowledge of the codes used to operate the sectors. Thus, they may have reasoned that simply to close the corridor off would be enough to keep us. Therefore, they may not have stationed anyone on the other side of the door for the simple reason that they would not have need.
If that was simple, I hope to hell that you never have to go into detail. But you're right. That would explain why they haven't used the sector to hit us from behind.
If you give cover, then I hit the code. We need to put up heavy fire when it opens, because they be on us.
To get past the sector would give them an escape. But the enemy would hear the door opening. They'd have no choice. The companions would have to move quickly and make every shot count. Without JB's Uzi and the spare ammo he carried, they could only fight for so long against such heavy SMG use.
Jack, tell Mildred and Christy on your way back. Then hit the code when I give you the signal. We all have to be ready to move. Doc, wait until they start to come into view. They'll have to when the door opens. And hit them right in the middle with everything you've got.
Doc cradled the ancient Lamar pistol, his hand resting on the barrel that delivered the shot charge. In this relatively enclosed space, the scattershot would be the best weapon they could call to hand.
I shall endeavor to do my best.
Go.
Keeping low and moving in an irregular zigzagging pattern, Jack moved back,
taking as much cover as possible toward the sect door, pausing only to deliver instructions to Mildred and Christy, who had remained just out of earshot. He reached the support buttress next to the sector arch. There was a 10-foot gap, and across it and tap in the code would leave him with his back exposed for a vital second or two. Jack took up his position. Ryan checked the Steyr and the Sig Sauer and looked back at his people. Mildred and Christy were behind their cover, guns at the ready. Finally, Ryan looked across at Doc. The old man would be the slowest out of the blocks, but the firepower of the Lama dictated that he should stay at the front with Ryan. The old man met Ryan's eye and indicated his readiness. Ryan looked back at Jack and nodded. Jack darted to the sector panel. Mildred and Christy raised their weapons and began to track backward, leaving cover and moving toward the door. Ryan and Doc faced the dogleg bend, waiting for the first signs of advance. The enemy had been content to sit back and wait rather than incur further losses, and hadn't even bothered to mount a watch on what the companions were doing. Now a group of enemy came around the bend, firing indiscriminately, peppering the corridor with gunfire. Doc and Ryan stood firm, despite the ricochets and lumps of concrete that flew around them. They didn't dare look back to see how the companions were doing. Ryan was too busy trying to pick off runners with a Sig Sauer, while Doc waited, patient and anxious, trying to pick the optimum moment to fire. Mildred, Christy, and Jack ignored the mayhem around them, trusting luck to get through the sector and into cover on the other side. With half a chance, Doc and Ryan could pull back, and they could keep the enemy at bay while they closed the door. In the meantime, as Mildred, Christy, and Jack stood in the open, they snapped off shots at the oncoming gunners. The enemy was gaining ground. Doc calmly stepped out from behind the buttress, raised the Lama, and fired into the middle of the enemy fighters. Doc remained upright and unyielding, even though his face was cut and bleeding. He felt shells pluck at his clothes, creasing his skin and drawing blood. One shot hit Doc full in the shoulder. Doc was instantly immobile. Ryan grabbed him and hauled him back, firing as he raced backward towards the sector. Doc, jolted out of his stunned reverie, followed. The shot charge from the Lama had done its work. The front ranks of the enemy fighters were down, many killed instantly, others in intense pain. The floor of the tunnel was slick with blood and gore, making it hard for the fighters behind to keep their footing as they tried to pick their way around the corpses and those barely alive. Mildred and Christy were on their knees from positions of cover, firing around Ryan and Doc, while Jack began to tap in the code to close the door. Ryan took a flying dive at the sector. His hand was securely clamped on Doc's coat collar, and as he launched himself, he brought the old man with him.
Move!
The companions leapt up and moved out of range. Mildred dropped back to support Doc, who was pulled upright by Ryan. Ryan was having his own problems. The wound in his arm had opened up a little more, and his sleeve was now heavy with blood. Doc was also losing blood quickly. On the run, Mildred searched her med bag for something with which to pad the wound until she could tend to it properly. Doc was pale and drawn, only his iron will keeping him from blacking out.
Leave me. I'm holding you up.
Like hell. We don't even know where we're going.
Head for the Mattrans. We're in no condition, but at least a jump will get us away.
Ryan nodded, and they headed for the gateway level. The people chasing them knew the layouts of the redoubts, so even if they hadn't guessed where the companions were headed, they at least knew the corridors. That meant that rather than chase them, they were likely to send out scouts, so the companions could be met at any junction by enemy fighters. Coming to junction slowed their progress. Ryan and Christy went ahead, checking before they crossed, with Jack and Mildred supporting Doc. Soon they were within two corridors of the Mattrans unit. Christy and Ryan gestured the others back as another junction came into view. It was a T-junction with a corridor leading off to the left. Ryan swung the Steyr around the corner, and Christy dove across the open space. A slug hit the silver at the base of Christy's heel, deflecting rather than penetrating, but the force was enough to throw her off balance and twist her ankle. She rolled with the momentum and came up into a crouch on the other side. Ryan snapped off a shot from the Steyr and was rewarded by a hail of gunfire that pitted the expanse of wall running between Christy and the rest of the companions. Behind the firing, several fighters moved into position.
Fire blast!
Christy was cut off from them. There was no chance of getting across the divide. Too late, Ryan saw a lone runner moving toward Christy, using the buttresses as cover. But she'd seen this as well, and snapped off a couple of shots. Her aim wasn't good enough. Unharmed, the enemy runner hit the sector and closed off one end of the corridor. Ryan realized that the enemy's knowledge of the redoubt and superior numbers was about to win the day, and there was nothing the companions could do about it. They could only go back the way they had come if they left Christy behind.
Ryan!
Ryan turned to see another batch of enemy fighters appear at the end of the corridor. They were withholding their fire, but advancing with their guns ready. Ryan looked at his companions. Christy was isolated and crouching awkwardly to protect her ankle. Mildred anxiously tried to tend to Doc, who was slumped against the wall, sinking toward the floor.
Why aren't they firing?
Ryan and Jack exchanged glances. If they were going to be killed, best to make it quick rather than torturous. Both men raised their weapons. The enemy stood about 50 feet away. They were a bunch of misshapen men and a few women, dressed in a bizarre combination of rags and better clothes, as though they had placed their new acquisitions on top of their old rags, rather than discard them. They showed signs of mutation and inbreeding, with slack faces, deformities, and some lameness among them. But they were all well-armed. Christy had her Smith & Wesson up and ready. Mildred glanced from Doc to the enemy fighters and to Ryan and Jack. Doc was almost delirious as he grew weak from blood loss. But still the enemy didn't fire. Their guns were raised, and they should have cut down the companions with no compunction.
Your weapons!
The enemy fighters dropped their weapons to a 45-degree angle.
We have them! It's safe to come forward!
Ryan looked across to Jack. Both men eased the pressure on the trigger fingers without lowering their weapons. The ranks of enemy fighters parted, and a squat, fat man with a lame right leg hobbled through.
We got you. We got Gordon. And we can turn you into $6 million on the wall.
The fat man looked questioningly at Ryan, who shook his head, partly to clear it, partly to indicate that he didn't understand.
What's the matter? You can't understand what I'm saying? I think you must be stupid if you can't understand what the fuck I'm saying. And I guess that'd be your main problem, if not for the fact that we got you cornered, too. We could make you nothing more than shit stains on the wall. That's what I was saying to you. I'm guessing by that fucked up look on your face that you're starting to understand what I'm saying. Well, come on now, you fucker. Just nod your head if you do.
Ryan nodded.
Good. Now, we've been running around after you, and you've taken out some of my people, and they weren't simpletons, neither. Real good marksmen. You made them look like triple mad dogs before you cut them down. But we came after you, and it ain't our fault, and it ain't yours if you happen to be better fighters than us. But you're a whole lot less fighters than us. Yeah, a whole bunch less. And we could have taken you apart if we'd wanted. Oh, we just living out the end times. But if it's us or you, then you don't have to be some kind of clever shit to work it out, right? I said right.
Ryan nodded once more. He felt tired, weak, and he wondered where the rambling diatribe was going.
Okay, good, now you're paying attention. See, I figure you must know something about this place, cause you ain't running blind. Now that kinda puzzles me, cause as far as I knows, we's the only ones around here that knows about this place here. Those horse fuckers in Dumas don't know about it, do they?
The squad man looked from Ryan to Jack and then at the others, trying to see if the name meant anything to them. His eyes were screwed up, his pendulous nose almost dangling onto his deformed lip.
I guess y'all ain't from around there after all. And you ain't from no convoy, cause there ain't been wags out around here for ages. We saw you before the storm, and we just waited. I figured you'd come back if you wasn't chilled.
Will you just tell us whatever the fuck you've got to say before you kill us and then get on with it? If I'm going to die, I want it to be because I'm filled with lead, not because some asshole bored me to death.
Kill you? You stupid bastards. We could have chilled you a whole shitload of times over if we'd really wanted to. But that ain't what we want. We wanted to take you all prisoners, maybe see if you could be of some use to us. You need a place to rest, and we need more fighters for our next raid. We want you to join us.
Ryan could barely believe it. This fat idiot had wanted to form an alliance, so he had chased them through the redoubt, wasting his own men.
Why the hell didn't you just say that you want...
Ryan suddenly collapsed to the floor, unconscious.
Shit, I guess you better pick up old One Eye there.
There was still a lot that didn't add up, but the companions were in no position to argue. For whatever reason, the fat man had offered them an alliance, which meant respite and shelter. The companions holstered their guns, allowing some of the opposing forces to come forward. Slinging their SMGs over their backs, two men took hold of Doc's unconscious form, lifting him and supporting him between them. Mildred had to look away when she saw that one of the men had no nose, merely a pustulating hole dripping mucus. Three came forward to claim Ryan, two men and a woman. There was little to differentiate them, as all were short and fat, with upturned bits of noses, tiny unblinking eyes, and warts spread across their features. All three could have been from the same family. In fact, many looked as though they came from the same gene pool. They were all either small, fat, and pig-like, or tall and thin with facial distortions. As they turned and began to trek back along the corridors, Mildred noted that a lot of them, particularly the men, had trouble walking. They shuffled, dragging one lame foot, like their chief. Taking as close a look as she dared without arousing suspicion, Mildred could also see that a number of them had hand or arm deformities. These seemed to be mostly among the women. The companions were being marched out of the redoubt, Ryan and Doc both unconscious from blood loss, by a group of inbreds who were probably mentally unstable, heading toward who knew what fate. Ignoring the men and women who tried to touch her as they walked, Christy addressed the fat man who was in the lead.
Listen, where are you taking us? What were you doing down here?
You ask a lot of goddamn questions, considering I could be doing the same. Well, the last question, any rate. We's on a scavenging hunt. No food or shit left down here, but maybe there was something we could take out that was left. Use it to trade with the convoys. Not that the fuckers stop for us. They just want Duma. But maybe we stop them and trade, and maybe if they don't stop, we chill them. See, I'm a fair man.
Whoever these people were, their ancestors had known the secrets of the redoubt and had plundered it long ago. The sec code had to have been handed down.
You look all beat up. I figure that storm couldn't have done much for you. Especially as you come back here with one less than you went in with. So, we're looking for something. You're looking for something. I figured it'd do us good to work together.
Both Mildred and Christy felt that the alliance was something to which Ryan had given tacit agreement by not opening fire when he and Jack had the chance. Some chance of getting out was better than none. The party of inbreds, with the companions uneasy among them, reached the outer sectors, and one of their number punched in the sec code.